Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to How to Improve Your Workday by Changing Life Outside Work here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, and I'm so happy to be here today talking to you about a topic that is really important. There are so many people out there who are really struggling to get through the day and, you know, feeling like they're dragging their heels as they're getting out of bed in the morning because they're really dreading what the day holds at work, or watching the clock and waiting for time to pass as the day goes by. And I know that joy and happiness at work are possible, so I'm really excited to talk to you about one way that you can start to improve your experience at work today. As I said, I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach. And what I do is I help 30-somethings who aren't where or who they thought they'd be with their careers, their relationships, and their lives. And often my clients experience what I call 30-something panic, which is that feeling of, you know, I thought I was going to have it figured out by now. So what I do is I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they really want in their lives. And sometimes that involves navigating big transitions like career changes, breakups, and big moves. And sometimes it involves focus on creating and nurturing healthy and satisfying relationships. I also love supporting parents with building a positive home culture or navigating children's social and emotional challenges and positive and effective communication. I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which I love because I get to work with people all over the world. You can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can find free tips and tools of all kinds there. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/30-something, written out, no spaces, no numbers. And you can follow me on Twitter at @SpaldingCarrie. So today we are here discussing how to improve your workday using strategies that actually have nothing to do with work. And these are tips that you can use when you're not at work to transform the time that you are there. So if you're feeling like what actually happens between 9 and 5 or whatever hours you're spending at work are out of control, first of all, I want to encourage you to know that there's so much you can change even when things feel really out of control. But particularly if you're feeling like what's happening at work is out of your control, there's so much outside of work that you can make choices about that can make a really big difference for you. So there's hope and there's a lot of positive change that can come out of this time. So during the show, you can call in with questions or comments at 646-716-9397. And I also have chat activated, so if you want to anonymously type in some comments to chat, you can do that as well. So it's so tough to be in a job you don't like, especially if you know that there's something more in you. You have a sense that you could be doing something great, that you have an impact to leave on the world, even if you're not quite sure what it is yet. And you're stuck doing something that either you don't enjoy or that you just don't feel good at. You don't feel like it's your purpose for being here. If you're in a job that you hate, it's easy to find yourself in a slump. And by the end of the week, especially, here we are on Friday at noon, oftentimes if you're in that kind of a situation, you're just waiting for the weekend, and then you come in on Monday and it all starts over again. So it's not easy to get the courage and clarity to make a change. And on the face of it, it's easier to just maybe push your frustration out of the way and just kind of like soldier through. And over time, you can feel powerless, and that's really understandable. But while you feel like you're at the effect of your life and you kind of drop down into that victim energy, you're not in a very powerful or free place from which to live your life. And you can be at choice in your life. I don't believe in waiting for someday to start getting what you want. So if you're in a job that's eating away at your soul and your health, either because it's a bad match or because of stressors in the workplace that need addressing, I do want to encourage you to embark on that change when you're ready. But in the meantime, what if you can get more joy and happiness in your life right now? So we're going to jump right in with 5 strategies you can implement starting today to improve your workday that, strangely enough, don't actually happen while you're at work. And if you already have a job you love, that's great. These strategies can actually help you up your game even more in life and at work. So the first strategy, the first tip I want to share with you, it's so basic and it's so fundamental, and that's to take care of your basic physical needs. And I'm talking about sleep, food, and exercise. So you're going, I know, everybody knows that. Well, everybody knows that, but look at how many of us are compromising on all three of those things every single day. It might be interesting to just kind of go through your last couple of weeks, and do, or even just this week you just went through, and do a little mental inventory. How many times did you compromise on your sleep or on eating nutritious food that's going to keep you going and power you? Or how many times did you plan to go to the gym and not go to the gym? And it's understandable. We're all very busy, and busyness and feeling like we're always running or feeling like we're, you know, down in the dumps because we don't like what we're doing, these things can impact our ability to make those choices. But when you aren't taking care of your basic needs, your work can be impacted in so many ways. You'll be less effective. You're more likely to be cranky and see the negative side of everything. You're less resilient to setbacks throughout the day. You're likely to be less patient with colleagues and clients. And if you're a parent with your children, absolutely, you're likely to be less patient with them. You'll be less likely to spot opportunities to enhance your career or to make changes or maybe to make that connection point that could launch you forward into something better. And I found that the exact same day, of course, there's never such a thing as the same day, but the same type of day or the same type of challenges can feel like an interesting challenge when you're rested and well-fed and well-exercised, and like a total bummer when you're exhausted, you're hungry, you're not nourished, and you're sedentary, you're not moving. Your body's not doing what it's supposed to do as a body, which is partly to move and partly to rest and partly to feed itself. So taking care of your basic needs by getting enough sleep and fuel in the form of food and exercise is one of the most single important steps you can take to improve the way you experience your workday. So a couple of little inside tips this one particular goal. One is start really small. The last thing you need if you're already feeling down on yourself or on your day is to set a huge ambitious goal that you're then going to feel really annoyed at yourself and beat yourself up when you fall down on it. So choose something really tiny and manageable. And, you know, for sleep, for example, get in bed just 20 minutes, just 10 minutes, just 15 minutes earlier so that you can sleep just 20 minutes longer at night. Electronics, we know, and there's been so much research now that shows us that looking at and engaging with electronics before bed negatively impacts our sleep. It also negatively impacts our boundaries and our relationships, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, you know, put your phone to bed for the night, just like you put a kid to bed. You'll see it tomorrow. Going to go to sleep. You're going to go to sleep. You know, you may want to just give yourself a little nighttime ritual. Maybe instead of expecting yourself to shut down immediately, maybe you establish a new routine where you get into bed and you read for 10 minutes. Not something that's going to keep you whipping through the pages and make you want to stay up late, but something that you'll enjoy and look forward to. For food, one teeny but profound step that you can take for food is to proactively choose a day that you're going to plan a menu for the week and shop. And I don't say teeny in that, you know, that is an investment of time. It takes some time to choose a menu and to shop for ingredients, but it's a relatively small investment of time for the payoff that it can have in your week. If you're tired and overwhelmed, the last thing you want to do is figure out what am I going to make and then go get the ingredients and wait in line at the store. And, you know, you're more likely when you're tired and when you don't have any idea what you're going to make to spend more money to get takeout. And when you're tired, you're also more likely to reach for things that are unhealthy and ultimately give your body less energy, or when you're rushed. So plan ahead of time and give yourself the gift of coming home and knowing exactly what you're going to be doing. Many people in career transition are also in, are also determined to be saving money aid in their career transition. So changing your food habits has about a million benefits, and one of them is that you can be really intentional about how you're spending your money and choosing to invest it in ingredients that you can prepare at home and fuel your body more effectively. Try cooking ahead large batches and freezing. My life changed when I figured out that you can freeze almost everything. It really, really did, especially if you're alone. If you're living on your own, if you're single and you're cooking for one, try cooking ahead. You know, soups are a great example of something that they freeze really well. You cook them ahead, and you can make 12 servings at once, and then you have 12 meals, whether to take to lunch or for dinner, and that are going to be healthy and fuel you. It's a tiny change, but it makes a huge, huge difference. You also might want to set up or think through breakfast ahead of time if you tend to be a breakfast skipper, so that you don't skip it or end up grabbing something really low nutrition on the way. For exercise, you might just make a tiny goal that you're going to take one class at the gym a week instead of, maybe if you're struggling to get there at all, maybe just plan to take one class and make that your day that you honor a little bit more sacredly. Or if you're lucky enough to be able to walk or bike to and from work, or if you get a bus or a subway, get off a few steps early and just walk the rest of the way. Just any little bit of moving you can give yourself. Take a 10-minute break at work instead of to browse through Facebook or to, you know, play on your smartphone. Use that 10 minutes to actually take a little walk, even if you don't have a very beautiful place to walk around work, your body will appreciate the movement. And bring your gym clothes with you when you're going out to meet a friend or, you know, to do something else. It can help you to follow through on getting yourself to exercise. So these are just really tiny changes that you can make. But the bottom line with this strategy is that no matter how you're feeling about your life, you are better able to handle it when your sleep and your food and your exercise are in place, because those are the things that prepare you. Marie Forleo, who I really admire and follow, says, "You are your number one business asset." Now, I might not be quoting her directly, but I think that's a fair enough synthesis. You are your number one asset. Your body is your number one business asset, and so you've got to take care of it. And you'll also probably find a lot more enjoyment and humor and fun in your life when you're well-rested and well-fed and when your body is working for you. The second tip is to find and maintain a hobby. So ask yourself, how whole is your whole life? If you're not passionate about work and you're not feeding your soul outside of work, it's only natural that you're going to feel really lethargic about going to work. So if you tend to come home from the job that you don't love, maybe you're working late and you know, you get home, and now, of course, the time has changed, at least where I am in the world, and so it's dark really early, and if you're just coming home and killing time until bedtime and getting anxious about what you're going to have to do the next day, you're not making your whole life very whole. Even if you love your job, your body and your mind and your need to feel that you've done something in between leaving work yesterday and arriving at work today. So a few ways that you can look at this. One thing when you're thinking about a hobby, because, of course, we all feel stretched for time, or most of us feel stretched for time, you want to invest your time in something that's going to give your life diversity or contrast in your day. So, for example, if you sit at a desk all day long, choose a hobby or an activity that actually gets you moving physically. If you have a really verbal job or a very social job, maybe choose something that lets you be quieter and more reflective, right? So if you're a kindergarten teacher and all day long you're talking and you're running around helping people, maybe you want to do like a watercolor class where you can sit and just quietly contemplate, just as an example. And, you know, if you're isolated at work on the kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, if you sit in a cube and you don't get to talk to anyone, choose an activity in which you're going to get to meet a lot of people. And there's a whole article that if you go over to my resource page on my website, about what I call multi-win activities. These are activities that you can possibly make new friends in these activities, but even if you don't happen to encounter anyone that you connect with, you're still doing a cool activity. So you can check that article out and get some ideas. But if you're always inside to do your job, get yourself outside. If you're always outside, which is more rare, but I guess theoretically there are people who could be listening who are outside most of the time, you might want to think of more of an inside job for your hobby. If you spend all day thinking about work-related topics, challenge yourself to read a book that has nothing at all to do with those topics. I struggle with that because I love my job. And I, you know, there are times when I just can't even think of something that I want to read that's not related to it. But I do push myself to pick up something that's completely unrelated so that I can create that diversity. And that's part of what replenishes us and keeps our lives and our minds fresh and keeps us having new ideas to do things that are different from what we're doing all day. Another little tip for finding and maintaining a hobby is think of something that you've been wanting to do that you've never been able to justify. You don't have to know why. For example, a few years ago, I just decided that I desperately wanted to learn Spanish. I had taken it in college. I didn't work very hard at it when I was in college, not hard enough to get proficient. You know, I only took one or two semesters. And a few years later, it was just really bugging me, and I didn't have any reason to learn it except that I wanted to. That was the only reason. And I got really, really serious about studying Spanish, and I gave myself permission to do that just because I wanted to do it. So think about what is it that you've always kind of thought would be cool to do that you've kind of brushed aside or thought, you know, maybe I don't really have any reason to do that. One of my friends just started taking a welding class, and she loves it, right? Like, you know, she never thought she was going to take a welding class, but what a cool, different way to spend your Tuesday evening. So let yourself permission to do something just because it seems like it's a cool thing to do, a fun thing to do. Another thing you can do is think back to when you were a kid or a very, very young adult or a teenager. What did you love to do as a kid that you haven't done in ages? Because maybe you, quote, unquote, don't have time, or maybe you just forgot about it. So did you used to be really crafty? Did you used to make things or sing, right? There are a lot of people who loved to sing when they were younger, and they don't sing now. Well, a lot of places have choirs that you can join or places that you can sing. I know many 30-somethings who take voice lessons just because they want to, not because they're professional singers. You can also think about, you know, things that when you were young that your parents made you do that maybe you stopped doing when they stopped making you, and think, are any of those things that you'd actually like to pick up again? You don't have to be good at any of these things, right? The idea is just to choose something that will bring you a little bit of joy and that feeling of immersing yourself in something just because. And amazingly, just like all the tips I'm talking about today, this can have an impact on how you feel at work because you're making your whole life more whole and you're not just going to work feeling like you haven't done anything for yourself. Another final little tip there is that you can ask friends or your parents or even just send a post out on Facebook, hey, I'm thinking of taking a class. What's your favorite weird or creative or unusual activity you've done or class recommendations? And I mentioned your parents because maybe they can tell you, oh, yeah, when you were 16, you were always wanting to do such and such, and maybe you don't even remember that. So, again, find a hobby and give yourself full permission to indulge in it. And you never know. Sometimes I do have clients whose hobbies that they were always pushing aside actually ended up turning into career changes. That can happen, but only if you give yourself permission to explore. The third tip is to create at least one morning or pre-work, because I'm mindful that some of our listeners do not go to work in the morning. You have a different schedule. So pre-work ritual that you love and you look forward to. and honor it daily. And when I say honor it, get really think of it as part of your day that's perfectly legitimate. It's not you being bad, right, to spend some of your morning for you. And people have guilt about taking time for themselves. Not all people, but some of our listeners, I'm sure, out there are nodding their heads and saying, yep, that's me. So if you don't want to get out of bed because you're dreading that morning race around the house to get out the door and off to work, especially in the darker months when it's going to be a dark race around the house to get out the door, it's time to add something positive into your morning routine so that instead of having a morning that's just full of have-tos, you have at least one get-to in there. So a few ideas for you. Maybe you get to sit for 15 whole minutes and read a magazine or a book while you drink coffee. Maybe you get to stretch or do yoga. Maybe you get to have 15 guilt-free minutes just sitting up in bed after the alarm goes off, cuddling with your puppy or your kitty before you get up. Maybe you get to listen to music and just breathe for 5 minutes. It's so amazing what a little bit of time dedicated for yourself and something that you enjoy can give you. Maybe you get to drink coffee at the corner coffee shop. Maybe, you know, I know there's a coffee shop that I used to hustle by, and I used to always think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to just sit in there in the morning and drink a cup of coffee? And then I thought, oh, I could do that. Maybe you get to watch the morning news if that makes you happy and doesn't stress you out. Some people really love having that little morning ritual of watching something on television or listening. So it's incredible how adding just one little morning treat can transform your morning energy. And what that does for you at work is that it puts a beat between getting up and going to work so that you're going to feel like you've done something for yourself already before the day has really gotten going. And that can make you feel a whole lot more willing to jump into work and less resentful of what work is feeling like for you if that work is something that you're not very enthusiastic about. So I have two more tips for you, but first I want to just invite you, if you have any questions or comments about anything we've discussed so far or ideas to share, you can call in at 646-716-9397 and let me know whether it's now or maybe you're listening to this show in the archives. You can shoot me an email. How does your out-of-work time impact your work day? What are you excited to put into action that you've already heard? Or what are you wondering about? What questions do you have? I'm also going to tell you about a couple of the shows that we have coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network and on our sister networks. So we are consisting of coaches from all around the world, and we have a Life Coach chat channel and a sister international network as well. And we have a show on almost every single day, sometimes a few shows per day, on lots of interesting topics with so many interesting coaches, and each of these coaches has their own areas of specialty and expertise. So just to preview a few, tomorrow, Saturday, November 9th, at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, we have How to Have Unlimited Joy in Our Relationships with Shravasti Superville. And on that show, Shravasti is going to talk about what it means to live a life of joy and how to spread that joy to others. And that is on the International Life Coach Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com/International Life Coach Radio. On Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, tune in to Walk Your Talk with Leanne, Into the Heart of Adoption. And that's right here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And for that, Leanne Parson, who is a coach whose specialty is in working with adoptees and their families, is going to be joined by Carissa Woodwick. And Carissa is a Korean-born adoptee. She's also a writer, a speaker, a counselor, and a marriage and family therapist, a wife, a mom, many other things. And she's also a co-author of Before You Were Mine, Discovering Your Adopted Child. So, and I apologize that I think I may have missed one part of that book title, but Before You Were Mine is the first part of the title, and I invite you to tune into that if that resonates with you. And then on Tuesday at noon, we have Fund to Fortune, Startup Success, Find Your Voice, and you're going to join the conversation with those who have created fund businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. This week, They're going to talk with three talented men, all extremely talented, who have gone from having fun doing karaoke to now performing in clubs, creating and selling music downloads and CDs, and using their voices to tell their stories, influence others, and touch their listeners. And that is on the Life Coach Radio Network. You can next hear me right here on the Life Coach Radio Network on Friday, November 22nd at noon Eastern, special holiday season show called Handling the Holidays When You're in Transition. So the winter holidays can be really tough when you're in transition. You're going to parties. You might be headed home for the holidays. And it's a time where we really take stock and think about what was life like this time last year. And if things were better last year, you might have had a job you loved or a great relationship, or you were happily single instead of dealing with fresh heartbreak, which is going on for you now. That comparison can be really hard. And on the other hand, holidays can really make you aware of what hasn't changed. So if last year you vowed that this year would be the year you finally got a better job or found someone or whatever it is, the fact that it wasn't can be really tough. And then you have the family dynamics, and then you have all the people asking you, so what are you doing these days? So it's a really a loaded topic, and it's an important one. I'm very excited to talk to you for this holiday season special show on November 22nd at noon. You're going to learn 7 steps to take care of yourself when you head home for the holidays in your own perfect winter storm of transitions. And again, that's here on the Life Coach Radio Network. Okay, so I have 2 more tips for you for how to improve your work day by changing what you're doing outside of work. So the 4th strategy is to get uber clear on your boundaries between work and home. So really ask yourself, are you leaving work at home, or are you mentally carrying it around with you in the time that you're not at work? So oftentimes we carry our to-do lists, our anxieties, our perceived mistakes, and so forth home with us. And we aren't really present when we do get home to unplug, to recharge, to engage with our kids or our friends or our boyfriends or our girlfriends or, you know, the other people in our lives. We're kind of not at work, but we're still at work. So identify clear boundaries and then stick with them. I did a whole show on this topic of how to actually set and communicate and keep your boundaries on the Life Coach Radio Network. You can find that show in the archives. It was September 27, 2013. You can probably just type the 30-something coach or type Carrie Spaulding or type how to set boundaries into the search to find that. But if boundaries are a sticky place for you, and they are for a lot of people, feel free to check that show out. But for now, just a couple of really basic boundaries that you might want to think about. Email is absolutely the one I hear most about. So, for example, will you check work email or complete work projects from home? That's a yes or no boundary, right? Maybe you're going to make a decision that you won't do that. But if you will do that, decide how much time you'll allow for that nightly or daily, depending on your schedule, and even set a timer for that amount of time. Communicate that at work so that you are really clear about when you're available. And, you know, decide where is the sacred time in your schedule. It's also really important to honor your boundaries with yourself around sleep and food and what we just talked about with your morning routine, giving yourself that time that you need to take care of yourself. So whatever you do to set boundaries, if you never really left work yesterday, no wonder you're resentful of going back today. It might help to create a ritual at work that allows you to tie up loose ends and put the day to rest so that you can, in the same way that I was just talking about, you know, putting your phone to bed for the night, just like you would a child, put your day to bed. Dedicate 15 minutes at the end of every work day that's just about closing up all the loose ends and maybe even having a little meeting with yourself to make a plan for what your highest priorities are the next day so that you can trust that it's going to happen. And you've already done that, and you've ended the day, and it's over. And there will be a new day tomorrow, and you'll accomplish what you need to tomorrow. The 5th strategy is to develop at least 1 or 2 out-of-work friendships with coworkers and colleagues. So you might be thinking, oh my gosh, like I already feel like I spend too much time at this place that I don't want to be. How do I possibly want to spend even more time with these people? The thing is, being positively connected to the people around you and having shared fuels happiness. And having even just one out-of-work connection with a colleague can help you look forward to the workday. Because then when you see them at work, it triggers those positive social memories. It triggers that sense of connection and belonging, which is a fundamental human need. And it gives you a bigger picture of the people that you work with. Right? So when you see people at work, you only see one side of them. Just to prove that to yourself, think about you for a second. And imagine all the people at work seeing you. How much of you do they really know? They only know one part of you. Now, if you're really integrated and happy in your life and your work, then the who you are at home is who you are at work, and you're showing up really, really as you are at work. But even then, there's only so much that we can ever really know about somebody when we only see them in one environment. So it can be really helpful to your workday to feel like you have just one or two out-of-work friendships with people who you see every day at work. It can make you feel less isolated and more connected. So a few tips. One, choose someone that you actually would like to hang out with. Keep your eyes out for someone you find interesting or funny or bright or maybe just kind of quirky. It's kind of like I was saying before about the hobby. You don't really have to know why. If just for whatever reason there's somebody that you'd like to know better, and ask him or her to get together outside of work. And that's a little bit vulnerable. So another thing I want to share is that if you hear a no, just let yourself feel disappointed for a moment, but it's not about you. Just, you know, people say no for all kinds of reasons. Congratulate yourself for having the courage and the proactivity to reach out to somebody. And when you're asking somebody to get together, it may help to be specific, right? So rather than, hey, do you want to get together sometime? How about having lunch on this day? Or, oh, I have an extra ticket to this play. Would you like to join me? So that there's something kind of concrete and specific that you're inviting them to, and it doesn't just leave you in this vague place. When you do get together, try to follow, I like to say, about a 50-50 shop talk ratio, which means aim to spend no more than half the time talking about work. So work is something that you have in common, and it makes perfect sense that you would talk about it. But you also, part of your goal is to learn about who the person is outside of the 9-to-5 or whatever your hours are. And so you really want to try to talk about things that aren't just work-related. And then you can enjoy seeing them at work and maybe make reference occasionally to some of these things, you know, obviously as appropriate. But I just mean if you were to see a play together or go to a great restaurant together, that would become a new kind of common experience. And you can have that wider sense of connection. So today we've talked about 5 tips to improve your workday that by doing things outside of work. And just to kind of do a little review, the first is to take care of your basic physical needs. Start here. It's so, so, so important. Sleep, food, and exercise. The second is to find and maintain a hobby. The third is to create at least one morning or pre-work ritual that you love and look forward to and honor it daily. By the way, you might want to bookend that with an evening ritual, and you can kind of use the same concepts that we talked about before. The fourth is to get uber clear on your boundaries between work and home. And again, I know that's a huge topic. I invite you to check out the whole hour that we did on it on the network before. And the fifth is to develop at least one or two out-of-work friendships with coworkers and colleagues. So think about one tiny step you could take based on what you learned in today's show. You can listen to this show again in the archives using the very same link that you used to get to it this time. And if you find yourself putting these into place or having clicks or ahas, please email me and tell me about it. I love hearing from listeners. And you can reach me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. That's carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. And please share this show with anyone you know who needs a workday boost. There are so many people in pain at work. If you're one of those people, know that you're not alone. I talk to people every day who are struggling, and real change is completely possible and well within your grasp. So don't lose hope. Spread the word. Try out the tips and be in touch. I'd love to hear how it's working for you, or tips that you think that other listeners would benefit from. And if you're interested in coaching, I have a few spots open for private clients right now. You can definitely let me know that when you reach out. I'm also available to come into organizations for speaking and workshops. I really love doing that, and I can customize for your organization. So, again, I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach. You can email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com or visit my website at www.carriespaulding.com. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach and Twitter at Spaulding Carrie. And I am really excited for you to go out and make some changes that are going to make every work day and every day better for you. Wish you good luck in all of that. You can tune in every day to the Life Coach Radio Network or our sister stations, and have a wonderful 30 awesome Friday. TGIF. Bye, everyone.